see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And we're back at you again. Oh, Bible study tonight. Man, I tell you, it's almost like a marathon for 5 years. Oh, boy. Broadcast, then broadcast, then Bible study. Whew. Well, I know one thing. God's got his thumb on me. Like he's got the thumb on a lot of people. I'm nobody special. He's putting his Holy Spirit out there, find out who's on his side and who's not. What church members who make God well, God happy, or
what could be better than
who make God
you.
Sick?
Maybe if you.
Which ones are they? I got a little cookie. I'm not talking chocolate chip either. There's a little cookie that's snooping around my computer. I can't find that sucker. He pops up some kind of ad or something every time. I'll find him eventually. How they do that? These little cookies they have. What they call cookies or something? They're sneaky. And they'll pop up an ad. They're like random, analogous or something. I don't know whatever you call it, darn thing. And they hide in the depths of your computer. And you can't find the suckers, man. Until you get somebody special, and you got to pay them to find it, and they hide like a HIV virus, except it's some kind of computer something that plays ads that keeps popping up just anywhere, anytime, any place. Oh, man. I tell you, I'm going to find that sucker. It keeps popping up, though, and I can't figure out when. It's like one of those bobbing heads that pop up, and you hit it, and you pop up, and you hit it. You don't know which hole's going to come up in. But I'm going to catch it. And when I do, I will search out and destroy it. That's that little ad just a little while ago. It just pop up anytime, so Got to be quick on the draw. Tonight, I think I want to cover, and this week I'm going to talk about end times events. But tonight, what the Lord hit on my heart to hit today is how to be saved, how to be born again, how to live the Christian life. And it's not easy at all. I'll be the first to tell you on that one. And when you miss it, you start what's called falling away, backsliding. And honestly enough, I don't know which ones, but there's a majority, a lot of preachers, pastors, rabbis, priests, they know what they're doing. They know how to keep you from living the Christian life by design, training for that very purpose. It's the rule, not the exception, unfortunately. When people finally understand that Satan is prince of this world, it's not a part-time thing. It's a full-time effort that he endeavors to, using millions upon millions of demonic beings on his side to help him keep us off track. Now, if you don't believe in Satan, he has succeeded in one part of it. It's getting you to not believe in him is the same as believing in him. Doesn't that make you curious? Not believing in Satan has the same result as someone believes in Satan as their God. I just now thought of that. He tries to get people to not believe in him, that he's a fabrication, that he's a representative of evil. Not really, doesn't really exist. He's just a representation of the evil hearts of men. No, he's an actual being, an actual entity that thinks, acts, controls other demons below him because he's more powerful than they are. In a book called Healing the Sick by Osborne, goes back to 1959. It's quite an interesting book. It's you almost have to go back in time to find the truth, and then you got to you got to scrutinize quite a bit to even find that. Because the Jesuits, Roman Catholic Church, is not of God. There's no question. And they've created religion to control it. This is the rule, not the exception. This is hard to really, really hard to fathom. But it's actually true. I can see that God is want me to talk about this tonight, about how to be saved, because he's popping up things in front of me. It's how it works. I get 4, 5, 6 things all of a sudden in one day, and that kind of tells me which direction I'm going to go. And sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say till I get started. It's just how it works. I'm dedicated to broadcast. And, we got to get moving here, because I feel like there's a lot to talk about tonight. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go. I never am, really. Those of you that are doing Bible studies every day, every night, or often, you're considered to be obsessive. Well, stand in line. But what it is you're being trained for the time yet to come that people don't realize it's going to be upon them. You're training right now for what is to come, and God will bring them to you. Majority of America don't know what's coming down the pike. Family, it's going to hit in one day, one literal 24 hours. In one 24 hours, the lives of Americans, 350 million plus, will change in one 24 hour period. Period. They don't know that yet. And they'll never believe you. But they will when it happens. That you can rest assured. They'll wake up one morning. You have millions of Chinese and Russian troops already here, thanks to our government that let them in since 1990s. They'll have the roadblocks set up between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, 1 to 4 o'clock in some places. And when people wake up at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 5, whatever, and heading to work, oops, a big problem. Everybody start tuning in to the TV and wonder what's going on. And we'll be in it. Oh, just like that. It will not be gradual. Then, if the phones still work, you'll be getting phone calls, questions. Family members will come to you. Then you're going to start working. But then you're going to be targeted as well. Oops, there you go. Right now it's practice until that day happens. There are going to be many more of these false Bundy situations. It's where they work both sides and Freemasons will tarry along and play the little game. And then they'll finally realize they've been hooked and crooked as well. There'll be a conversion of Freemasons as well. They don't know that yet. They'll find out later. So, right now, y'all be ready on how to lead someone to Jesus. I'm going to talk about that tonight. But mainly, I'm going to talk about how to live the Christian life, how to be born again. And you think I'm just teaching? No, I'm not teaching. I'm learning with you as we go along, sort of. Naturally, I got to be at least an hour ahead, you know. But the theology, schools of theology today, the rule is not to tell the truth. And I mean that sincerely, from Harvard all the way down to Wake Forest, to, I don't know, just name a college. They're all humanist colleges, humanist, Marxist, socialism, every one of them. I'm not going to go over the quotes tonight. You've all heard it a dozen times. That's the other thing that people don't realize. Dedicate the broadcast. Let us begin. Lord God, reaffirm our faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, was resurrected that we may know, may now have life in him. Thank you, Lord, that we have the authority of Jesus Christ over every evil power. And the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross and blood, to bind the spirits and powers and forces of the earth. The underground, the air, the water, and the fire, the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature. Lord, we bind all interplay and interaction, communications of evil spirits, as they would try to affect us in any way during this time of Bible study and in the future. And Lord, we claim the protection of the shed blood of Jesus over ourselves, including our eyes and ears and hands and mind as we read the Bible today. Father, we do thank you for your protection. And Lord, please prepare our hearts and help us to receive your word with understanding and without distraction from the enemy. Send us your holy angels to fill our home and minister to us, especially as we read your holy word in the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for our veterans, that they'll be healed, they'll be protected. We pray for the children that's being sought after and abducted for this witchcraft practices that's coming up. It's already happened to families, so give them rest. Give them comfort. Bring families together that's experiencing the loss of loved ones. We pray for courage, Lord, for giving the those in the pits today to once and for all take up the sword of the Spirit through the King James Bible and to preach the truth. And we pray, Lord, you guide us in this truth. Give us the words to speak. Grant us the knowledge that we need to solve the questions of our mind. Light thou our candles while we read. Keep our hearts from going blind. Enlarge our vision to behold and the wonders that thus what of old wrought, brought to us. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. This prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I never went to a school of theology at all. I didn't get a degree in theology or a certificate necessarily. I improvise. But God helps me improvise. I don't do it on my own. There's no way. And I go with what the Spirit tells me to say. He provided me the means by which I got my own network. I've got people that some of them I've met, some of them I've never met, some of them I've talked to in email, some of them just only on the phone, a combination above here pertaining that provides me information. I got my own methods of New World Order analysis, my own methods of making up for my lack of degree of theology. And so, I just do what I can, but I make sure my information is correct. Because I triple check everything I bring out. If I make a mistake, I expect someone to, Tom, you made a mistake. Okay. Which one? And where? And exactly what's the correction? But I scrutinize my own sources before I say a word. And I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me in the right path. There's a major conspiracy out there, and it's driven by Satan, not Jews, not Muslims, not even the Illuminati, not even the Freemasons or whatever. Cults, no. They're nothing but pawns anyway. Now, they're responsible for being the pawns. Oh, yeah. But this is a supernatural war of which we're a part of. That's what people can't get through their minds and understand it. That you can have the smartest people in the world, and they have incredible Queen's English and certificates at the yin-yang. Speak in front of grand groups and still not have a clue. If they don't understand the supernatural, then they're missing the major part of this world's the reasons for a major events take place, why they do. They're missing it. If you don't include the supernatural, if you don't believe in the supernatural, and you're a Harvard professor, you're missing the whole ball of wax. Your analysis is not worth much. I mean, literally, it's not. And our beliefs do not establish our reality as they'd like you to believe. If that was so, how come they're still stalemated? You know, my belief forms my reality. Really? Now define that, and they get mad at you when you start getting the exact and specific. They get all mad at you. And start coming after you, which is okay with me. I don't really care, but then, you know, you lose them, but you don't let them push you around. Sometimes you just got to bow and go, granted. But this is nothing compared to what's coming. Some of the major mistakes major fallacies they talk about is that you can sin all you want. You're already saved. It's a Calvinist point of view, a New Age point of view. That although Jesus' blood does cover all sins and we're saved through him, his death was not a get-out-of-jail-free card or indulgence. It doesn't mean we'll never sin, nor does it mean our salvation is partially based on being a good person. If I'm a good person, I should be okay. Well, no. If our love for Jesus is genuine, we'll want to obey. We'll want to obey his word and not take advantage of his grace. I had someone say about 10 minutes ago on one of the Facebook comments, that if you say 50 prayers, that's going to get you out of trouble. I said, what? Say 50 prayers? It says not the number. Or if you say just 49, does that, you know, what are you talking about? It doesn't work that way. If you use the rosary beads, you might as well take, you know, string up pea shooter peas and use them for, it's the same thing. Peas are nothing, man. It's nothing but a necklace that buy cheaply. It doesn't do a thing. Yet these Catholic churches got them believing that rosary beads are going to save you. And they got to do nothing whatsoever. Don't you know God is going to judge these liars that's teaching wrong things to children? It's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown in the deepest part of the ocean than lead the little ones astray. I think they're missing that part. They better go back and read that again, what that really means. Someone wrote, quote, I remember some years ago when I got saved, I wanted to tell everyone about Jesus, but found out quickly that everyone wanted to hear and began to withdraw from sharing. Now, and what they did was, one day, this person says, one day the Holy Spirit put it on, she says, I'm reading it, on my heart, to tell this one person at the moment about Jesus. The following day, this person was killed. After the shock of it, I realized how God put me in their path for a reason. Being a new Christian, I began questioning myself and doubting myself if I would have told them what I told them made a difference, or how I should have said this or that. It bothered me for a long time because I didn't feel I said what I should have. Today, this person says, I realize that God knew what I would say to that person before I said it. So whatever I said, God used to speak into their life, because I was no coincidence that they died the following day. If the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart to do something, never ignore and trust it with it. Never ignore and trust God with it. I just got that, about 20 seconds ago. You see, God works in amazing ways. Now, this person put this in front of my eyes, not knowing that I was talking, and I just happened to click, and there it was. And that's very appropriate for today. As you don't know, when God puts on your heart to say something to someone, give something to someone, go left instead of going right, and you're wondering, why am I going right? Well, I'm just going to go anyway. God's setting you up if you listen to that small inner voice. But if you're not listening to that little voice and you're distracted, then you're going to miss it. And then later you feel kind of convicted. Gosh, I should have this, that, and the other. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You see, that's it. That's how it works. That's how it works. And then you got those that sneak in. Satan puts them there. And you got to go head to head with them. You see. This is how it works. Satan's always there. But you're stronger than he through Jesus Christ. You see. And the time will come when all this will be pronounced. And Satan will, already lost. So, I'm going to talk tonight, very importantly, how to be saved. So they say, sin all you want, you're saved. They say, priests, the saints, and Mary are your intercessors. No, the priests are definitely not. The saints are chosen by man, which means they're non-saints. Man don't choose any saints. That's impossible. So the Catholic Church picks men, saints, throughout the generations, for no reason. Catholic Church can't name saints. It's impossible. And Mary is not your intercessor. It's not so. We're told there's only one intercessor between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. We're to pray to and call upon Jesus only. Why? What's the problem? Why you go to Mary? Why do you use plastic or wooden beads or whatever? The Hindus and the Muslims use the beads also. That should be a problem. Wait a minute. Does that mean that they're closely the same religions? It does, because they are. That's why the Pope is bringing all the religions in together, including Protestants. You got some fella, some priest or cardinal or bishop or I don't know, whatever. It's going to all the United States and other places. Oh, he's garnishing a great crowd of saying, Protestants, you're forgiven. Come back to us, the Mother Church. Well, I got news for you, buddy. You better get on your knees, sucker, and you better renounce the Catholic Church, renounce religion, and get back with Jesus. No pun intended, you're going to be some hot water, boy. That's the bottom line. They say you can earn your way into God's grace through good works or rites or rituals. You know, doing good works and turning away from the sins are byproducts or fruits of the Spirit of our transformation through Christ. It's not the way to God. Salvation is offered freely through Jesus Christ alone. It's not by works or rituals, so no man can boast that he saved himself. Some Masons say that this ring is my ticket to heaven. Well, I got news for you. That piece of metal is nothing but something you're going to sell like a Super Bowl ring because you're going to be poor, and then they're going to want it because you can't eat the darn ring. That ring's not worth 2 cents. Being a Mason is only going to send you to hell. I hate to be blunt about it, but that's a fact. Literally. What I'm telling you is scholarly researched and confirmed. I'm not being emotional here. I'm telling you exactly what's going to happen. Besides being targeted by the Illuminati, once they have control, they're going to kill every Freemason. And y'all won't know it. And this is documented. This is not a tabloid or some Dan Brown nonsense. This is a fact based on their own planning process given to their minions between 1873 and 1901 in a lecture, a series of lectures contained in the Protocols, Chapter 15. It is going to happen. And you know, even the Bible confirms this. The Bible itself, man, it tells you right there in Psalms 34:21. The Bible confirms it. The Bible is 100% correct. King James Bible, irrefutably the only true word you're going to get on the face of the planet. 34:21, it says, man, it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. So, the preachers today, the rabbis and the priests and bishops and popes and cardinals, blue jays, whatever else they got by name, are trying to do just that, to keep you from being righteous, because they are performing what they're supposed to do, according to their planning, to keep you from walking a true light with God. This is not accidental. This is on purpose now. You understand what I'm saying here. And you already heard me go to reiteration of how many thousands, how many millions of people, the innocent people, has been murdered by the Roman Catholic Church. People keep forgetting that. They keep glossing over it like it doesn't exist. But I got news for you. It does. It's proven, too. The last verses of the Psalms, actually there, hinges on the word condemned. As for the wicked, calamity shall bring them down in death, and they shall be condemned. But the servants of Jehovah, not Yeshua, and not Yahweh, but Jehovah God, have one who redeems their soul, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Praise God, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Horatius Bonar says, and I quote, "Who shall condemn us now, since Christ has died and risen and gone above, for us to plead at the right hand of love? Who shall condemn us now?" Horatius Bonar. So, the believer is saved, kept and abundantly satisfied for time and eternity. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. This is the message of this psalm. And you know, it goes on to say in Psalms 35:21, a psalm of David, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me." It's an innocent use of his imagination, David. He calls on God to arm himself with a much generous supply of weapons, and to hereby deal summarily with those who profess friends of the psalmist, turned out to be his cruel adversaries. Who is that unfamiliar? Matthew 10:33-42. The psalmist wants to see the Lord reach over for his shield and buckler and move into action, hurling his willing spear and saying to David in the side, "I'll take care of them and be your savior." It's coming. They say that there's many paths to God. All religions worship the same deity. If this is true, Jesus would never have come to earth in human form to die on the cross, then would he? This is a more recent deception. It has multiple purposes. Even Billy Graham says this. You don't have to know the name of Jesus, whether you come from the Muslim world, Christian world, any world. He says, you know, he didn't used to say that, but he is now. It's to take the focus off of Jesus. Now they're all coming out of the closet the way they really are. They have sacrificed the deliverance of true word of God to pull people in. And then once they get people to trust them over generations, then they turn the other way for the generation that they're going to target. That's how they do it. But first they must gain your confidence. They say that Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God. That Jesus was just a prophet. Jesus never actually came to earth in human form. Or Jesus is just part of the salvation equation. I got an article somebody sent me, well, today. Actually, this is a new twist to it. That, today's the 22nd. What did it say? It said that Judas died on the cross, not Jesus. They say we have evidence that Jesus didn't die on the cross, that Judas died in this place. It was actually Judas that did, and Jesus went on to Europe or something or other. That melds into the Merovingian bloodline lie. It's amazing all the little rabbits are pulling out of the hat. Oh, no pun intended there. I didn't mean it to be a pun, it being Easter and all that sort of thing. You could say that, though, as a rabbit they're pulling out of the hat. And Jesus didn't really die on the cross. That it was Judas that did it in his place. That's recent. That's what you're coming up with. Lord, help us all. Can you believe it? That's a new one. Hadn't heard that one yet. But that's I heard it today. That Jesus didn't die on the cross. Judas died in his place. Oh, man. I don't have the guy's name right now, but you'll know it when it comes up. You had one fella that was in a baseball game and dressed exactly like Jesus, acting like a fool. Man, I don't think these people have any idea. You know that God is one patient Father. Whoa. He's one patient Father. Did you all know, I've told you all before, and those that hadn't heard it before, that baseball is a Freemason sport that was designed by Freemasons to worship Lucifer every game you go to? Remind me tomorrow. I can cover that. Talk about it. I want to talk about it tonight. But I can give you some details about how baseball was created by the Freemasonry to worship Freemasons, worship Lucifer. Because Freemasonry does worship Lucifer. Therefore, when you go to the game, you're given permission. Don't you see them all dressed up in the faces and like they do in football too? That's why. It's like tribal. But it's created by the Freemasons, baseball was. Since 1860s, Doubleday was a Freemason. Oh, boy. Isn't that a hoot? The Masonic origins of baseball. Who's who of famed Freemason was Grover Alexander, Ty Cobb, Carl Hubbell, Branch Rickey, Hornace Wagner, Cy Young, just to name a few. I'll give the details tomorrow about it. Unbelievable. The entire baseball field is the actual Masonic logo. How about that? The G in the middle is a pitching mound. Yeah, that's the truth. I had, when I was in Washington, Georgia, I go to Sparks Bar. And there's a bartender back there that I knew was a Freemason. We were on friendly terms, pretty much, I guess. And then I brought this up to him one day, and he acknowledged a few of the sentences I made, kind of get that snicker. And I said, well, when you play baseball, you're kind of worshiping Lucifer. Tom, that's enough. That's enough. He walked away. Anyway, they only go so far, but he wasn't an active Freemason. He was partial, but that's a little secret they know. Some of their signs, hat logos and all that, hand signs, you'll find in football, baseball. Other sports also take in the New Age or Luciferian rituals and so forth. It gets really funny sometimes, but funny peculiar, actually. Family, they say that Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God. He's just a prophet. The Bible tells us to test the spirits and teachers and prophets and rabbis and rabbis and I don't know, all these that claim to be bishop this, apostle that, and all this. I am Apostle Gamble. I'm Bishop Gamble. I am of the, come, please, let go with the titles. We're all children of God. There's no bishops and cardinals and I don't know. I'm Apostle Tom of the Gambleite Church of something or another or whatever. We're going to have Elmer Fudd come by for a special presentation. Call me Apostle Gamble. Oh, please. Fam, we're all equal. I don't know what it is about people naming themselves. I'm Disciple Tom. I'm Apostle Tom. I'm Bishop Elmer Fudd or something. I don't know. Does that give them some special status? God's not going to recognize it. Status is in what you say, not what you present yourself to be as a title. Born again is all he cares about. It's emphasized that anyone who denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God but a deceiver. Furthermore, anyone who says Jesus is only a part of the road to salvation and not the whole of salvation is not adhering to biblical teaching. And they say that man can become gods. Well, no, he can't. There was I must speak this. He had one controlled opposition talk show host that said that, talking about 322, the skull and bones. I said to myself, they can't get this wrong. But they did. That 322 was the fall of man, was dissension of man. Well, no. 322 is the skull and bones number, secret number. Is Genesis 3, verse 22, is that man will ascend and become like a god. So they reversed it. They tell you partial truth, then they try to downplay the reality of what 322 really is or whatever. 322 is a Rosicrucian like Ron Paul or Rand Paul, Ron Paul specifically, Rosicrucian, and the other Rosicrucians goes back 1,000 years, far back as you can count. When the Rosicrucian came around, that man would become as a god. A superman is the term they use. And this is before 1938. Then, hence, Hitler, the master race, is part of the Rosicrucian idea. All the way back to Nimrod. Nimrod just laid the groundwork for all the Antichrist and the attempt at a new world order. And let me tell you, Nimrod wasn't a Jew. Hello. And neither was Alexander or any Caesars. They all have the same thing. It's not about Jews. Pharaohs were not Jewish. But the Pharaohs are the offspring, are the ancestors of Queen Elizabeth II, and the Merovingian bloodline goes back to the Pharaohs of Egypt. Oh, my goodness. 322, man will become as a god. That's why their number, that's what the number is all about. It's not March 22nd, some anniversary, some silly nonsense. Other stuff, they're trying to defray from the truth. It's about man becomes God. It's a Rosicrucian idea that will never happen. Now, before I continue, I'm going to remind you tonight that we are played up at highpointradio.net. He needs some help up there. He's got three transmitters now. John Kirkler. I just talked to him recently in H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And apparently there's folks that don't like some of my broadcasts. I can't imagine why. Do I tick people off? I don't really mean to. But apparently it might just be doing that. But he plays our broadcast. He plays our Bible study, and he's hanging in there. He's doing a good job. He's got three transmitters. He's growing. Needs some help and support from those in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Family, I gave you some of the beliefs that people have that's not the true beliefs. These people being lied to about those beliefs, I told you, it's not true. It's man trying to escape the judgment by believing something otherwise. Your beliefs do not establish your reality. How to be born again. Well, first you have to know that the person's a sinner, for them to realize they're a sinner. And for our individuals, we have to know that we are sinners. God is a just God and a loving God. Just and loving. Just, what does that mean? This entity, this creator, God, we can't even begin to fathom. We don't have the dimensional capacity. Try to think in your mind, just try to focus, and try to imagine eternity. Well, your mind can't do that. Try to imagine a being, God, creator, that's always been and never had a beginning. Your mind can't do it. Our minds cannot fathom that. We don't have what's called the dimensional capacity. We don't have any reasons for it to understand it. There's no way. You see, and I sometimes do this to show how small I really am. Now, let me explain to you a dimensional capacity. Obviously, I'm going to use some hyperbole here. But how about, please, don't really do this or they're going to lock you up. But go out there and find an earthworm and start talking to the earthworm and ask them to meet you for lunch someday. Well, let's move up to a soulish animal, S-O-U-L-I-S-H. And ask a monkey. And I had a monkey for a year in Saudi Arabia. Him, Dryas, female monkey, and a black and white cat. And they got along with each other. They tolerated each other. I had diversity in my apartment in Saudi Arabia. Him, Dryas, monkey. I had a little hairy 4-year-old child, what it boiled down to. I put diapers on every day. That was my training for a baby. For a bachelor, I had a monkey. I kept for somebody for a year. Anyway, the monkey would come up and hug you when you gave her, it's like a hairy baby. I mean, they would look at you with eyes like, wow, you know, it's different than looking at a dog or a cat or whatever. This animal was like human, sort of. And if any of you say it's my niece, I'm going to hunt you down. In any case, I can guarantee you that if I said to that monkey, look here, I'm going to get off for lunch. I want you to meet me for lunch. That monkey don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Tibby was her name. Say, Tibby, meet me for lunch. I'll give you some bananas and a head of cabbage. that monkey would have no clue what I'm saying. There are certain words that the monkey knew, but they rested on your emotion with the word connected. I'm going to tell you one thing about a monkey. Man, do not accidentally leave your cage open. I left my cage open one day, forgot. I was in a rush to go to work in Saudi, as Riyadh. I came back in the afternoon. There was not one thing that monkey didn't take apart, including ink pens. I was cleaning that house for like 3 days. My cat stood away and said, man, look to me. There's nothing me up on a ledge. I didn't do it. I mean, it was like, wow. I took pictures of it. Tibby knew I was ticked off, too. She went back in her cage, probably to hide. Anyway, but she still don't have the dimensional capacity to understand certain things. You understand that dimensional capacity? Well, humankind does not have dimensional capacity to understand the fullness of God. Us trying to understand the supernatural and the fullness of God is like trying to pour the ocean to a pint cup. We can't, but and yet we think we can. We can't. I'm rested with that. You may later, when you are born again and you're in heaven, you say, Lord, I got a whole lot of questions. And still you will not have. Because if Satan and the fallen angels and the demons had the dimensional capacity of God, they wouldn't do what they're doing. Because they would know in the future they're going to fail miserably. If Satan had the full dimensional capacity or even close of God, he would have known that he should not have crucified Jesus, because that was an undoing. If they could, hey, you four-star generals, if you're ascended masters or aliens or time travelers, they would know what's going to happen. They wouldn't have given you nuclear energy, would they? Because they've known they would have killed and created the bomb. Oh, but you have the bad ones. Oh, I forgot about that. Sure. That's the lie they're telling them. They have good angels and bad angels. Good aliens and bad aliens. You got four-star generals that don't have the sense God gave a billy goat. If they believe that nonsense, they're being deceived. Sinning will cause you to be deceived. God pulls away from us until we call him back, taking Jesus as our Savior. How to be born again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The problem is that Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. That's the problem. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't say here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man become a Christian, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't say that. It says being born again. Says nothing about a religion. Religion is not about the Bible. Religion, actually, I have documented, by the way, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz. It's a textbook of the Illuminati. Calls religion one of the ashram rays, what they control. So first is the sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem is unless you become born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And the sentence, because he's a just God, he established, and why he hates sin so bad, is he made it a death penalty. Now, that don't seem to me like God has a whole lot of sense of humor about that. Oh, God's got a sense of humor, man. We got this understanding. Really? Do tell, Cletus. I don't think so. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. He knew we were going to sin way ahead of time. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Every omni you can think of. And he's there. He knows it there. He knows what you're going to do before you know you're even going to be be asked to do it, or before you even think about it. He already knows the end of it. Our future is his memory. He established the wages of sin is death, the second death. The first death is just sleeping. Oh, you'll be cremated, head cut off, whatever, it doesn't matter. He'll bring the body back to join up with the soul and the spirit during the judgment, the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. Doesn't matter whether you have your head cut off or your body cremated or whatever, cryogenically frozen. If you're not born again, you're going to hell, and your body's just going to sit there and get cold. The Savior, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Now, what's the solution? Well, Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, there you go. Is that being taught today in the churches? Very few. They give Dr. Feelgood speeches, like Osteen, show the pretty white teeth, give me 10% of your money, now get out of here. If you don't like sitting in the pews or the chairs, don't worry about it. Just go out in the lobby and watch it on TV. And while you're there, get some of the coffee from Starbucks outside in the lobby. And if you want to, you can come in and listen to rock and roll music in the front when we play it. Any questions? Good. That's kind of what's going on. The timing is Corinthians, Second Corinthians 6, verse 2. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, I read you that, I don't really know the person, but a contact in my Facebook page thing, whatever, that the person had the opportunity to witness to someone, and the next day that person died. God will put that before you. You can take it or not. Holy Spirit says take it. I had a night the other day, last week, where I was on a main street of town, like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Now, Mount Airy, North Carolina, well, it's deserted, let me tell you. And I had a couple of people came up to me and said we're homeless and whatever. So I'm going to tell you what I did, but anyway, some things transpired. And then I witnessed after I did whatever the Holy Spirit told me to do. And I witnessed. And then the following day, the same thing happened the next morning. See, God is one that says either put up or shut up. You're going to say all this? Well, let's see if you really do it. You see? And he'll test you. He'll put it out there and he'll test it. He'll test you. Well, this person witnessed to a friend or acquaintance or put on their heart to tell that person at that moment about Jesus. And the following day, that person was killed. That's called a divine appointment. That's a classic example. That's your opportunity to work for the Lord. But as soon as you do that and you succeed, Satan's coming after you. It's called being demonized. You can't be possessed as a born-again Christian, but you can be demonized. And people say, how dare you say I can be demonized? How dare you? Who do you think you are? Well, being possessed, now that's a whole different ballgame. You need deliverance. But being demonized, that's constant. Family, if you could have these glasses, say glasses that you could see the supernatural in the second heaven realm, and you put those glasses on, you would probably have a heart attack at what you see, the war going on around you. You can't see because these beings, the angels that God sends down, the demons that's after you, and I mean everybody, is at a different frequency vibrational level. I'm not going to go into quantum physics right now. That's not part of Bible study. But it is quantum physics. It's about chemistry, biology. It's physical. And they're going at a faster rate of vibration than you are. So it's kind of like ice cube. You change the physical vibration of the molecules of the ice cube, turns into steam if you heat it up real fast. Or water if you heat it up but slower. It's all the same ice cube. But the ice cube can't communicate with the water because they're two different, but it's the same one. Because the frequency vibration. This is physics. The same thing for you're like an ice cube, and your molecules by electromagnetic energy are increased by possession of the Holy Spirit. Hence, Enoch was taken when he was alive. How about that? He was a young 365 years old. Oh, that was young back then. And God took him while he was alive. Now, how did he do that? He changed the physical properties of Enoch, the vibration, to change his body where he could lift him up. If he didn't, Enoch would not survive. How did Jesus resurrect himself from the dead? He is God, you know. He changed the physical flesh because Jesus, he bled. He hurt. But yet, when he needed to, he could walk on the water. How do you do that? How did Peter walk on the water? How did Peter, a human being, flesh and blood, walk on the water? Because his faith changed the physical properties of his body. How did that woman, who had an issue of blood, in Luke, you can read about it, thought in her mind, her heart, she thought, she didn't say a word. She thought it in her heart. She truly believed all she had to do was touch the robe of Jesus. She believed so strongly. If I just can reach out and touch him. Now, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people around him, patting him on the back and doing these things. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And this one woman with faith reaches out and touches his robe. She was healed. And Jesus felt virtue leave him. The healing power. And he said, who touched me? Can you imagine the disciples looking around? Who touched you? You got all kinds of people touching you. No, I felt virtue leave. He looked around and faith healed her. The Roman centurion even trusted Jesus. Came up to him about healing his servant. Jesus didn't have to be there. I'm heading somewhere now. I'm heading somewhere. Jesus didn't go to the Roman legion's house and heal the servant. He says, well, I got my donkey here. I'm going to ride it to your house. I'll be there in a few days. No. He says, now go. Your servant is healed. And when the centurion went back to his house, he was inquiring, when did this happen? And they told him he knew at that moment his servant was healed. Now, they all came to Jesus, and Lazarus would died, right? Before he died. And they're saying, Jesus, come quickly. Lazarus is dying. He needs to see you to heal him. What did Jesus do? He tarried around, man. For 3 or 4 days, he tarried there. Now, couldn't he heal Lazarus from one place? How about that, huh? Why did Jesus just say, well, I'll be there? Why didn't Jesus say, well, no, go on back, he's healed? Well, he did it once already. Why did he do it with Lazarus then? Because Jesus wanted to show his power. For us, it depends on us to have faith. He said to Thomas, when Thomas said, "My Lord, my God," when he saw everything, Thomas is stubborn, let me tell you. Oh, that name. Anyway, "My Lord, my God," Thomas says as he dropped to his knees. And Jesus said to him, "You believe because you see. But blessed are they who have not seen and still believe." So that's why I have a whole lot of doubt about people saying, "Well, I saw Jesus. He came into my bedroom." I've heard people tell me that. I mean, not personally, but I've heard people say this on their broadcast, on their books, that Jesus came to visit them in their bedroom. Yeah! Rode in their car with them. Now, I would say that they wrote this in books and CDs and all this, that that might have been Sanan Emmanuel. Yeah, not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why would Jesus tell Thomas, "Blessed are they who have seen, who have not seen and yet believe"? Why would he break that now? Yeah. Anyway. Born again. So we have the sinner, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. You have the problem. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the sentence, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Savior. We're sinners. Christ died for us. The solution. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The timing. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. There's people holding out to go to church again. Christmas. And then after Christmas, they're holding out to go to church again on Easter. And both are pagan. I know you're not going to like me saying that. But that's what it is. You got to know that. But they hold out in special holidays to go worship God. And the third is when they have an accident in their house, or they're getting ready to die, or there's an attack or a bombing or something. Everybody heads to the church for at least a couple of months or something. We were supposed to do it 24/7. And then the acceptance of God's gift, if you really believe that Jesus Christ took your place in judgment for your sins on the cross, then you pray the prayer. And the prayer is, "Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. I do now receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. If I'm a 33rd degree Mason, I'm going to say I'm the one that saves. If I'm the Pope, I save them." They said in one cardinal was talking about the Pope that can forgive sins. Oh, I got news for you, buddy. Hardly not going to happen. And the result of asking Jesus Christ to forgive you, a sinner, that you're born again, John 3:3. And you welcome to God's family. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. How do you protect yourself? We talk about that in the prayers daily. It's putting on the full armor of God. The belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Sandals of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. When you pray, this full armor of God upon you. The angel that comes to you would have the same armor. But as I've heard in research and testimony of sort, that if you pray, do not pray one of these, then that angel would not have the shield of faith. That means that Satan would see it, and he would find your weakness in the shield of faith, find weakness in your faith. Family, did you know that Mother Teresa lost her faith? But she did so much good for children. Okay. But did she teach those children that they must repent and how to do it? Or she just do good deeds for the kids? Being good, don't get it. And the loss of faith? Something's wrong. Read about it. It's not about doing good deeds. It's about teaching about salvation. That's what it's all about. So, how to be saved? Believe there is a Jehovah God. You believe that there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Oh. Oops, I threw a zinger on you, didn't I? The fear and respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Satan believes in God. The demons believe, but they tremble. The fear or respect, they've changed the wording, haven't they, of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 7. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is it required for being born again? No. Is it a method of obedience? Yes. Is it required? No. And just because it's not required doesn't mean you don't do it. But some churches, Baptist churches, say you must be born again. Okay, fine. Then they say you must be baptized. No. The criminal on one side of Jesus wasn't baptized, and Jesus didn't say you must be baptized first. He didn't say that at all. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't have to go hunting down some preacher, rabbi, or priest to throw water on me or dump me under. If I can't find one, the Holy Spirit will baptize you. But it doesn't mean you don't do it when you have the opportunity. It is a public acknowledgement of your change. Well, if you don't have a priest, does that mean you can't find one? You take Jesus as Savior. So it doesn't matter? It matters. But the point I'm making here is, there's churches that say you're required to be baptized. No. You're not required. You could accept Jesus Christ in your bedroom, on the side of the road, and you're born again. Then there's a matter of obedience or an outward display. If you're a member of church, you can say, I need to be baptized. Well, he's going to ask you, did you accept Jesus as your Savior? And you can say, well, yeah, I did. Oh, okay. Because he's a good preacher will ask you that and say, well, and you will say, no, I didn't accept him as my Savior. I just want to get baptized. Well, he's going to tell you, or he should. Well, at first you have to, and you go through the steps of, you believe in Jesus Christ. You have to say, yeah. You believe he died, and he goes through the whole steps to make sure that you accept him as your Savior. And if you didn't, he'll lead you through that prayer, or he should. I saw it on the YouTube. I saw this man with my own eyes. There's a priest somewhere in one of the South American countries. I think it's Mexico or somewhere there like that. Chile or Mexico somewhere. Anyway. And he has children. Man, he had kind of a homemade kind of a cathedral. It's kind of worn down, whatever. It's not like your fancy ones, whatever. But he has a white robe that has Superman or Spider-Man or whatever it draws the kids in. Always a big crowd. He always draws a big crowd. and he's given her mass or something or another, and when he's done with it, guess what? Somebody comes out with a water blaster. I mean, a neon orange and green water blaster that they probably got at some secondhand store at Walmart or Toys R Us. I mean, to tell you, it's a big water blaster. And I thought to myself, no, he's not going to do what I think he's going to do. Ah, yeah, he did. He put water. Naturally, it was holy water. And he's spraying this water blaster 30 feet out there, you know, spray up close. Everybody's getting doused with water like their little plants running around. They get sprinkled. Family, those people left thinking by being sprinkled with a water blaster, holy water from some priest, that they're saved. Now, don't you know that God's going to judge that priest like nobody's business for that lie? Oh, my goodness. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only one. Repent, turn around, and follow Jesus. Number three is repentance, so that you can be born again. As Jesus said, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, how can you twist that? Well, they don't. They leave it out. That's a problem. Because repentance is not preached by the Calvinist. Oh, I know you got 4 point, 5 point, 3.4 Calvinist or something or another, whatever. And they could pick and choose or something or another about what kind of point they are. Oh, man. They'd do good to get rid of Calvinism completely and Lutheranism, all the religions. Just get rid of all of them. Jesus Christ is not about religion, for goodness sakes. Number four. Okay. Number one, believe there's a Jehovah God, but that alone is only a starting point. You believe that there's one God, you do well, because the devils believe and tremble. James 2, verse 19. Then number two, be baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. You can be baptized by the Holy Spirit also. Mark, actually, it's part of it. Mark, though, 16, 16. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You can be baptized either way. But you're not saved if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, repent. Turn around and follow Jesus so that you will be born again. And Jesus said, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Man, that's slam dunk. Number four, pray to God in Jesus' name. Repenting, admitting your wrongs. Yield, turn to God and acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Family, I was a Marine, and what we deal with? Pride. Oh, whoops, snap. Uh-oh, that pride word. Have pride in what you're doing, boy. Uh-huh. Isn't that taught to us? Me admit I made a mistake? I don't think so. Got to be a man. Stand up. Oh. Take pride in my uniform. Take pride in everything I do. Yeah. There's a problem there. Me admit I'm a sinner. I had reasons for what I did. Oh, did you now? Pray tell. What were they? Repenting, admitting your wrongs, yield and turn to God and acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Well, I'm not making something up. I'm telling you what it says. Number five, receive the Holy Spirit. It's part of your new life in Christ. Believe in your new status as a child of God, adopted, joint heir with Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, converted from your old life, reborn spiritually, then you've received the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, John 16, verse 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper," that's the, let's see, John 16, 7. Let me check something. John 16, 7. Aha! And John 16, 7, in the King James Bible, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I shall go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Because he is your intercessor to God to send you the Comforter. In other Bibles, it called the Helper. I thought so. Always check, because I got all kinds of sources going on here. And so you really got to check, because people are using corrupted Bibles. And sometimes they get me. And sometimes that little voice says, mm-mm. And I got to go back to King James to get the true word of God. And sure enough, you got to be careful. You don't want to mess up any words. And they've got me a few times, and I'm glad that some people have. Tom, you read that out of the NIV. I went back and looked, and said, sure enough. So I've corrected it. People are getting away from using King James. Yeah, I wonder why. Because they don't follow the King James. King James is the only true word of God. There's no other Bible. But the King James. In Acts 1:8. In the King James Bible. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Nothing's changed. It's even of today. Number 6 is realize that you're not ruled by your flesh. Romans 8, verse 9. In Romans 8, verse 9, you will find, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now see this part here at King James. I tell you, I can't make your mind up. Number 7. Live for God as a Christian. Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Serving Him through helping others to see. Act upon the words of Jesus in the Bible. Be a fisher of men. Proclaim the good news in order to win souls. That's what we're talking about tonight. Number 8 is be aware of the elements of salvation. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Says. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He knows the end from the beginning, you see. In Ephesians 2:10. It tells you right there. Number 9 is follow Jesus and win souls to Christ. He who wins souls is wise. And add those souls to God's kingdom. Agree in faith as a Christian to be one in one mind. And number 10, accept that for a born-again Christian is to live in Christ as it's no longer I who live in, but Christ who lives in me. No other religion, even Christianity, covers the truth anymore. They're all infiltrated. Every religion. Patriotism, idol worship, religion, it's all part to pull you away. Number 11, live in the Spirit as a born-again Christian. Do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You're not of your own. You're bought with a price. And 12, realize that being reborn may be explained as receiving or being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the way it works in the supernatural world. By possession, committing an abomination toward a sodomizing or rape or orgies or drugs or all this allows portals to be opened up in your body that you become possessed by a demon or fallen angel if you're significant enough to be used as avatar or cella or whatever. All these little secrets they would try to keep away from people. It's all about possession and ways that they get in because you give them permission. If I go to a seance, I go to the lodge, I go to certain whatever seances or card reading or whatever, or Ouija board, whatever, the jinn will come inside you. I've given permission for the jinn, J-I-N-N, for the demons, for the fallen angels, if you're significant enough that they're going to use you. I've given permission. Therefore, God says, okay, fine. He steps away. You're able to be possessed, channeled, incarnated by a demon. Now, there you have two problems. One, you must be delivered. To get that demon or demons out of you and then become born again. Learn about Jesus and believe that he died and rose from the dead as your Savior. And as soon as you do this, you better pack it up and get ready, man, because Satan's coming after you. That's why you plead the blood of Jesus around you. They come on the YouTube. They come on the Facebook because they're pushed by Satan. So use that to witness to them and then move on. Otherwise, they'll pull you in into a debating situation. And there's no debate that can win because nobody has, to go around what I said before, the dimensional capacity. No preacher, no Harvard professor, no imam, no human being has dimensional capacity to debate the Word of God, yet they try to pull you into it. We're at the end of the night. Part two tomorrow. How to be born again. We're going to talk about this. How to live the Christian life. And I have another part of it, if I get to it, about church members who make God sick. Probably better to say it make you mad. We'll do this all week. It's time to get down to brass tacks. In the prayer that we use, Father, I thank you that Jesus died for me. Each one prays or says, I confess I've broken your laws. Forgive my sins. I receive the pardon right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Give me a new heart with new desires. And by your Spirit, give me the power to live a life that's pleasing to you. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving me as you promised. And thank you for this gift of eternal life. But if you truly mean that, saying it 50 times means squat. Doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean anything at all. But when you say it with your heart and you really mean it, that means everything. saying the words with rosary beads doesn't do anything whatsoever. You see. Living the life, we'll talk about tomorrow night. Jesus said to them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." He tells you right there, those two commandments are not adding to it. It's summarizing the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is nothing but a summary of the 667 instructions given from God to Moses in the Old Testament. Because it comes from the same God. And put in one book so you can read it. It's called the King James Bible. Y'all have a good night now. Sleep well. Pray. Start your fasting. And trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's coming around. This is practice. That's all I can tell you right now. Man, this is practice. I'm going to play one of my ending songs, my favorite ones. And I'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6 in the broadcast. And then tomorrow night, Bible study. And... well, there you have it. So y'all come back now here, and we'll be back tomorrow. God willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll talk more about how to be born again and how to walk the life, how to live the life of a Christian. I want to talk later on this week about how the preachers, rabbis, and priests deceive the public. I want to talk about that this week. There are tricks they use, especially in these mega churches, to keep you from walking the path. And they're taught how to do this. You understand? It's not because they haven't learned. It's that they're learned, they're taught. David Wilkerson didn't have that problem. That's why he was murdered. Man, look it up. He wouldn't bow down to them like all these others are doing. Because right now they're collecting the preachers for the falling away. Y'all have a good night. Through Jesus Christ, you've won on the cross. Just spread the word. This is the Watchman. Signing off.
Jesus died. then burst in flood in glorious day. Life from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's past and lost in grace for me. For I am his, and if he is mine,
God bless. This is Watchman signing out.